All right. Hey, welcome. Good morning, everybody. I'm glad that you're here. And in case no one has told you yet, let me just be the first to say Merry Christmas. I'm so glad that you're here. Grab your Bibles, if you would. I'm going to spend some time in the book of Luke, chapter 2, reading into the Christmas story and getting into the Christmas spirit. All you bah humbugs, I'm just telling you, Merry Christmas. It's one of the greatest days in the history of the world where God sent his son for you and for me. It's a wonderful, wonderful time of the year where we remember that it's not just about gifts, but it's also about the gift giver. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. We're going to start in 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll move on over to Luke chapter 2. Let me just take a pause for just a moment and welcome in those that are listening on our podcast and our friends all over the world. So, High Ridge family, would you do me a favor? Give them a warm, big round of applause. Let's welcome them in. It's awesome, awesome, awesome to be in the presence of God this morning. Let's dig into his word together. I'm believing that as we get into God's word, his word is going to get into us. Amen. As we're digging into 2 Timothy chapter 1, I was drawn to the scripture and we're kind of basing this series off of it. And I want to read it to you right now if we could. Verse 7, 2 Timothy 1, 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Some people say, I need to grab onto that scripture right there. I can leave service with just that nugget. God has given me a sound mind. No matter what my husband says, I have a sound mind. No matter what she says, hey, my mind, that's a gift from God. What we're missing there is that God has not given us the spirit of fear. The gift from God is not the spirit of fear. And often what's happening when we experience irrational fears, we're being attacked by the enemy. We're going to listen to the voice of our fears instead of the voice of faith, instead of the voice of what God is calling us to do, and we're going to miss out on something so supernatural that we forfeit a powerful moment with the Lord. Four times during the Christmas story, an angel appears and says those two amazing words, "Fear not," saying God's presence is not something that we should be afraid of, even though this is crazy. You know, for many of us, this has been a year of fear. 2018 has seen some of you realize some of your worst fears. And I have the privilege and the honor of walking a lot of people in this room through some of the worst times of their lives. There are people sitting on your row that 2018 has been a year of fear. They've seen a lot of things come to pass that they had hoped wouldn't happen. We've seen the loss of jobs and the loss of loved ones. We've seen fears of diseases and fears of relationship breakups, loss of this and loss of that. 2018 has a lot of fears. In our country, this has been a year of fear with racial tension and injustice and the politics and the laws and the crazy things of people that you voted for, people that I voted for. You know, and social media has now become our news source and it thrives on fear. Fear is contagious and it begins to sweep across God's people where we forget that God has not given us this spirit of fear. During this Christmas series, I want us to remember that it's important to focus in on those two powerful words, fear not. You know, someone added it up one time that there are 365 times that the Bible tells us not to be afraid. I don't think that's a coincidence that there are, believe it or not, 365 days in a year. Last I checked. Many of us are led by fear, and as we look around at the racial divide and the laws and the politics and all the things that we have to be afraid of. It is easy, easy, easy. If you want to find things to be afraid of, you can find them. You can find them. I'm afraid my marriage won't last. I'm afraid I'm going to go broke. I'm afraid people are going to make fun of me. I'm afraid of stepping out and doing this. I'm afraid of starting a new job. I'm afraid of quitting my old job. I'm afraid of what people might think. Fear, fear, fear. Fear controls a lot of God's people, and it's contagious. As I'm looking in Luke chapter 2, I want to focus in on the fear of the shepherds. If you're a note taker, go ahead and write that down, the fears of the shepherds. And I'm hoping that as we dig into that story, that you're going to find that they have a lot of very common fears, things that you and I are afraid of today that whether you admit it or not, you still face. I had to take a good long look at myself as I was putting this together and realize, man, this is speaking to me as well. There are things that I face that I wish I could say I wasn't afraid of, but I am. I'm not too proud or too macho to say I still have fears. Every single one of us has secret fears. As a matter of fact, you can't experience real love without being afraid of what happens to that person that you love. You fear for them. You fear for their safety. Let's look together at Luke chapter 2 and let's look at some common fears found in the Christmas story. Starting in verse 8, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were," somebody say the next word there, "terrified." Yes, bro, same. Same. Many of us like to think in that moment, if God shows up, an angel appears to me and speaks to me about my destiny, that'd be the most awesome moment. And maybe it would be, but you're going to experience a little fear in that moment. This is not just something that happens and you think, oh, you know, that was cool. Yeah, I had an interesting day. How was your day? Yeah, I met an angel. It was pretty cool. You're going to leave a little wet spot where you're sitting in the grass, I promise you. They were terrified. It says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid.'" Your version may say, "Fear not." It says, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for not just you, but for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." The shepherd's fears are number one, just like many of us. It starts off with the fear of the unexpected. That's a big deal to be. I do not like surprises. Maybe some of you adrenaline junkies are all about surprises. Don't surprise me. I am armed and loaded. I don't like surprise. Don't have a surprise party at my house and have the lights off when I walk. Don't do that. I will shoot you. I'm not that guy. I am too old and too big to be shocked. I will have a heart attack. Don't do that to me. I don't need it. Don't do that to me. I don't like surprises. And here are these shepherds thinking, you know what? Silent night? Yeah, not anymore. Thanks a lot, God. They're scared to death. Nobody likes to be caught off guard. Can I hear an amen from somebody? Nobody likes that. And even worse, if you catch it on video. No one likes that shot of adrenaline where you have this fight or flight thing happening. And here's what's happening to these shepherds. They didn't plan on this. Boom, here's an angel of God. Hey, don't be afraid. Yeah, now you say it? Here's a second fear and something that I've had to walk through as well. The fear of things escalating. You know, I found that in most situations, the things that I'm afraid of really never happen. The things that I'm most fearful of, they don't come to pass. But sometimes when I face my fears, I find new fears. What if it gets worse than this? What if it goes from bad to worse? And it's always something. There's something to be afraid of. And once you face it, now there's something else to be afraid of. So the angels are not only confronted with an angel, but then it goes from bad to worse because a host of angels shows up. Look at this in verse 13. It says, "Suddenly a great company." Now, it didn't say a company. It says great company. "Of angels, the heavenly host appeared, praising God." It says, they're saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." There's not a lot of peace happening on the side of this hill right now. They are terrified. Things went from bad to worse. You have to remember, this is in the day before laser light shows, day before outdoor concerts. This is before electricity. Hello. These people had never seen fireworks. All of a sudden, God shows up with his glory. Things go from bad to worse. Things escalated. They went up a little bit. God doubled down. Yeah, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Oh, now you men don't be afraid. Wow. They had to experience an incredible amount of fear in that moment as God's presence shows up. Now, God's not wanting to bring us fear when his presence shows up. He's saying, you know, peace and favor. Yeah, you may say peace, God, but I don't feel a lot of peace right now. Can you imagine the moment that the angels leave and you look at the guys next to you and you're like, did y'all see that? Joe, what did you put in that soup? Bro, am I tripping? You saw it too? Here's another common fear that we find in, on behalf of the shepherds and we can relate to as well, and that's the fear of changing plans. Oh, man. I don't like this. Where are my other people? You little control freaks. You have your plans, and when things change, you don't deal with that quite as well as you think you do. Where are we at? Come on, it's not just me. Yeah, that's what I thought. Y'all just as crazy as I am. Don't change my plans. I've got plans, and they're perfect. It's got to happen on schedule just like I think it should be. Don't mess with my plans. These shepherds didn't have plans to make a trip into town. God changed their plans. They had plans for a quiet night, camping out with the boys, watching the sheep. Thanks a lot, God. You changed my plans. They had no plans of leaving their sheep there, but yet, here it is. God doesn't want us to be afraid of his will. And I think a lot of us find ourselves when God is challenging us to do something, when God steps in and begins to change things, to change your plans, to confront your fears and to call something deeper out of you, you're going to face that uncertainty. And God say, no, peace. The favor upon you. This is a good thing. Now, you can sit out here and enjoy a little quiet night with your buddies, watching your sheep, or you can be a part of the greatest night in the history of the world. What's it going to be? I don't know. Is there going to be more surprises like this? Because I didn't bring enough ammo. We all have fears of our plans changing, and God doesn't want us to have to walk through that whenever God decides to stir our Kool-Aid a little bit. I've experienced this myself. I had no plans at all of moving to East Texas. That's not in my 5-year plan. And about 3 years ago, I decided to come here. This church was interviewing for a senior pastor position, and I thought, you know what? I'd love to interview as a senior pastor. I've never done that before. I'd love to go and just be a part of that process. I show up here, and I'm thinking, yeah, this is a great interview. That's awesome. I'll never come back here again. I'd never been to this city before. I had no thoughts of ever living here. But God has different plans. And obviously you can tell who won. Because 5 years ago, my wife and my family, we went on sabbatical, and I was taking a break from my church and asking the Lord, okay, God, what's next? Because I know that I'm supposed to be pastoring a church, and so I had this idea in my mind that we're going to pastor maybe somewhere in north of Houston, because you can't get too far into Houston. That's where the devil lives. But we're trying to pull as many people out of hell as possible and teach them how to drive. Come on, somebody. We had thought about the Dallas or the Fort Worth area, and there's all kinds of new thriving communities that really needed a church. I'm thinking, okay, God, I am your servant. That's where I want to go. We had done some scouting trips and been praying and seeking the face of the Lord and looking for opportunities to connect with one another, and I thought, it's going to be south or north. That's my plan, God. So whatever you have to do, you work it out. God doesn't listen to me a lot. I found that he'd rather me listen to him. And so while my family and I were taking this sabbatical break and I was explaining to God my plans, God gives me a dream. And God shows me standing on a platform behind a little black podium, a lot like this, staring at a lot of white people. No offense. There's a lot of white people in this room. That's not part of my plan. God, I want a church filled with these that look like heaven. There's all kinds of color people in heaven. God shows me this church that looks remarkably a lot like this room, by the way. Actually, exactly like this room, I'm not going to lie. And God shows me a man that's standing in front of the pulpit, and I'm standing behind him right about here. And the man turns around to me and says, okay, now it's your turn. Take it any way that you want to go. And so I'm like, Lord, that church was small and white. Are you mad at me? So as I came out here for this interview and they asked me to preach, I preached the following Sunday, and they said, let me introduce you to a man named Lester Wooten. Many of you know Pastor Lester. He was the founding pastor of this church. And Lester turns around, and he has a handful of chips at this little party that I'm at. He turns around and says, hey, how are you? Sticks out his hand, and my knees buckle. It's the same man from my dream. I'm like, God, you are mad at me. I don't want to come here. East Texas, no. You know, it's amazing how we have this fear of changing plans, but God's not afraid. And I can't imagine my life being any different over the past 3 years than coming and getting to know many of you and to know your families. You know, for some of us, God is asking you to let him change your plans a little bit. And I know you got things all worked out in your own little world of where you're going to go to school, where you're going to marry, when you're going to retire, how you're going to raise this child. God's like, what about me? And many of us in that moment, like, I'm not asking you because you messed things up, God. You don't know. You don't know. You ever been there? Come on, let's be honest this morning. You ever been there? God, you don't understand. No, my way is much higher than your ways, Lord. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I've had those moments with the Lord. I can admit it. I don't like when God changes my plans. But then I can't imagine my life when I could be any better than when I say yes to him. I think that's a word for someone this morning. You need to say yes to God and trust that his plan is good. Different is not bad. When you know who holds tomorrow, you can put your fears to rest. Can you trust him? Is he God? Does he know? And if the answer is yes, then let him drive. There used to be a bumper sticker back in the day, and for millennials, bumper stickers were these things we had put on our actual bumper, not on your back window, on your bumper. And bumpers are things that cars used to have before they just had plastic. And this bumper sticker said, "Jesus is my co-pilot." I'm thinking, you need to change places. Let him drive. You ever heard the song, "Jesus, Take the Wheel"? Come on, somebody. You haven't been saved that long. You know what I'm talking about. Let him drive. Let him take over. He's a good navigator too. He knows where he's going. You just sit back and enjoy the ride. Your job is to say yes. You know, there's another one, another character in the Christmas story that had some fears that I think we don't like to admit, but some of us find ourselves afraid of the same things that a man named King Herod found himself afraid of. And this man was afraid of losing control. He would manipulate, pull strings, backstab, work things around to make sure that he was always in control. Had to have control. He had manipulated his way onto the throne. Matter of fact, he had pushed his wife into exile and his son because he wanted to marry another woman who had more power. So he comes into this position of authority by marrying into the right family. And then when his first wife causes him problems, and when his second wife causes him problems, guess what he does? He has them killed. When his sons raise up, he kills his sons because they're a threat to him. He has his in-laws, that this family that he married into, he had them killed. And some of you are thinking, that's not a bad idea. How did he get away with that? This fear of losing control made him become a tyrant. And it cost him his family. He ends up losing his mind and decreeing that every child underneath the age of 2 has to be put to death. Let me tell you, fears can get out of control really quick. And some people in this place, you have this fear of losing control and you've become a tyrant in your own family. Let me stir your Kool-Aid a little bit this morning. God wants to confront your fears. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to listen to him. He wants you to see that you don't have to operate that way. God has not given you the spirit of fear. And power doesn't come through fear. This is God's given you power and love and a sound mind. I think the only thing that we can really control is our perspective and our attitude. Why don't we leave the rest of that up to the Lord? Let me give you some practical thoughts and that I see with the shepherds, how they confronted their own fears and what they actually did in the moments after being confronted with this fearful, frightening experience with an angel. Hopefully this will help you as well. If you're finding yourself facing fear, the fear of losing control, fear of the unexpected, fear of God changing your plans, if that's hitting home with you, let me give you some practical points that will help you. If you're a note taker, go ahead and write this one down. At some point, you're going to have to do what God says. And I say that, it might sound elementary, but you're going to have to stop listening to the voice of your fears and start listening to the voice of the Lord. At some point, Christian, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, you're going to have to actually read his word. The freedom from your fears is found in the power of God's Word. You got to get in there. If the only time that you're spending in God's Word is about 25 to 30 minutes on a Sunday morning, you're spiritually starving yourself. It's time to get into God's Word. Can you hear me this morning? You're going to have to do what God's Word says. So here's the angel. He appears to them and says, hey, let me give you something to do. I think God's Word is speaking to you this morning, saying, hey, let me give you something to do. Verse 15, it says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. I think for so many of us in this place today, we tend to have the voice of the Lord is drowned out by that voice of our fears that tells us, God doesn't speak to you. God doesn't care about you. God doesn't care about your family. Look at all the mess that you're in. Look at the mistakes that you've made. You're a nobody. Let me tell you this morning, God loves to use nobodies and make them somebodies. God loves to look at people that everyone else had counted out and say, I choose that one. There's a reason why God chooses the smallest nation like Israel to express his glory through. There's a reason why Israel is the only nation that has no oil. Don't need oil. We've got God. There's a reason why he loves to use people like David, the underdog, and people just like you and me. God loves to use nobodies that will listen to his voice and actually do what he says. People that are just crazy enough to believe that God is more powerful than my fear. People that are just crazy enough to believe that God can do what his word says he can do. People that are just crazy enough to believe that God can make something out of nothing. People that are crazy enough to believe that God can forgive and heal and restore and raise up and give me a plan and a purpose and make things in my life greater than I ever thought that they could be. God loves to use nobodies and reveal himself and raise them up for his glory. People just like you and people just like me, I'm living proof that God can take a nobody that will listen to him and make them somebody, that will redeem a life and restore and call out the things of their life that they didn't even realize were there. You have those things as well. If you'll stop listening to the voice of your fears and get into God's word, let me tell you, things are going to change. And they're going to change for the better. It's always better. It may be crazy, maybe a little fearful, but it's better. Somebody say amen. Do what God says. Number two, when God speaks, don't be afraid. Take a step of faith. Notice this in verse 16, it says, so they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. They took a step of faith and found that what the angels had actually said that would happen actually happened. It came to pass. Things were just like the angel said that they would be. But in order to experience it, in order to see it for themselves, they had to actually go. Here's the problem that I see in today's comfort Christianity. Is that we can look at a word from God, we can read the word from God, we can understand it, we can break it down, we can tell you what it means in the Greek. But there's something very different between being a hearer of the word and being a doer of the word. I'm talking to some people in this place that have learned enough, but have never put it into practice. At some point, your faith walk has to actually take steps. So when I explain to my children that I want their room cleaned, I don't expect to come back in 40 minutes and then for them to have written a paper on what God's word means when it says clean. I don't expect them to know the Greek word for clean room. I expect for it to be clean. Are you an obeyer of what God actually says for you to do? You're going to find that your fears will become smaller and smaller when you actually begin to step out in faith and do what God's word says you're supposed to be doing. God has a plan for your life. There's a faith step for you. And at some point, you don't need to just study it, think about it, process through it. You don't even need to pray about it anymore. You need to do it. Do it. Step out in faith. Start the business. Ask. Seek. Knock. Take a step. Make a phone call. Take a step of faith. They didn't just talk about it. They actually started the journey. I wonder what are some irrational fears in this place? What are some things that keep you from ever stepping out and becoming what God has called you to be? Is it a lack of experience? Here's another one, not feeling led. I don't feel led to do that. Really? Is that right? You know, that ties into number three. Here's a way to confront your fear. You're going to have to learn how to share your story. Uh-oh, Pastor. You mean you're not going to do it for me? No, I'm not. You've got a story to tell. Please hear me. God has brought you from a very specific place, and he's doing things in your life. You know more than you think you do. And if you're here, you took a step of faith this morning. The Word of God tells us in Revelation that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, what Christ has done, and by the word of our testimony. We wonder why we're giving into so many fears. Well, God's already done his part. Second part is up to you. Share your story. Well, I don't feel led, Pastor. You know, one time I preached a message and I gave away little lead washers that people could attach to their keychains. I said, next time you say you don't feel led, reach in your pocket and feel led. Come on, somebody. You're led. You are led. God wants you to be led by his Spirit and to actually share your story. When did we get out of this mindset that sharing the gospel was not part of what God was asking us to do? I'm sorry. It's kind of a big deal. Share your story. I want to encourage you, for some of us, this might be a new concept to you. For some of us, it's been a while since you've remembered to do that. You used to do it, or you've done it before, but you've just gotten out of the habit of it. I want to encourage you, write down your story. And the easiest way to do that is spend about 10% of your story talking about your life before Christ. Then use about 80% about what happened in that moment that God changed your life. And then give me about 10% of how your life has changed since then. Make it all happen in about 3 minutes. It's a 3-minute testimony. I've given you the formula for how to do it. And let me just tell you this. When you begin to share your story with people that you know, people that you're working with, you're going to start seeing their lives change because they become encouraged. Their fears begin to subside. The word of God through your testimony is a powerful supernatural thing, and it brings life and light to dark places. Don't forget the power of your testimony. I need to speak to somebody this morning. You've forgotten the power of what God's done in your life. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. When was the last time that you shared your story? When was the last time that you talked to somebody about the goodness of God? When was the last time that you shared all that God has done for you? You've got a story to tell. Yes, you do. Your story is special. Your story is supernatural. And when you get over your fears of sharing it, you're going to find that God can do more things through you than you ever thought possible. You still with me this morning? Fear is contagious, but so is your testimony. And I think we have this irrational fear, and I've done this a lot, especially in youth ministry. But what if I share my story? What if I invite someone to church? What if I step out in faith, and then in that moment they want to argue about evolution? Or what happens if they ask me what happened to the dinosaurs? Or what happened if they ask me about this or ask me about that? And I don't know enough Bible to do that, so I need to wait until I get a lot more training. I'm like, here's the thing. Let me just calm your fears. People can't argue with your story. It's your story. They weren't there. And if you would just step out in faith and share your story, you'd be surprised. People aren't going to want to argue with you. They're going to want to listen. They're going to want to listen. I found that the testimony of what God's done in my life has brought more people to Christ than I ever thought possible. This is how God takes the mess and makes the message. This is how the test becomes the testimony. And at some point, you got to testify. You got to tell of the goodness of God. You got to tell somebody out there what God's done for you. You have a story. And even if it's a short story, even if it's a comedy, even if it's a drama, it's your story. And it's beautiful. It brings life. It helps people. It strengthens. It encourages. It brings glory to God. Look at verse 20. It says, then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and all the things that they had heard, which were just as they had been told. They had started sharing their story, and all of a sudden it erupted into praise. Fourth and last point is this: praise is a fear buster. I can't give you anything more powerful than that. If you're confronting fears, let me just tell you, praise is a powerful way to do it. Faith is the antidote to our fear. When we praise, your faith comes up. When you share your story, their faith comes up. Faith begins to rise, and fears can go to hell. Some of us are so busy listening to the voice of our fears that you've forgotten the power in the voice of your praise. Praise is a fear buster. It's easy to find a million things to be afraid of, and there's a bunch of things that you can complain about. Yes, you got them, and so do I. You want to have a complain party? There's not a lot of people that will come. But those that do would fill up the whole schedule with plenty of things to complain about. I've got them and you've got them. I heard Joyce Meyer say this: you can complain and remain, or praise and be raised. Your choice. It stuck with me, and I remembered it because it's true. Complain and remain, or praise and be raised. What are the things that you're thankful for? What are the gifts that God's given you? I think too many of us spend the majority of the time in prayer telling God about our fears. And is there anything wrong with it? No. But don't forget about telling him about how good he is. Thanking him for his goodness. You'd be surprised that your fears would vanish if you start focusing and remembering your praise. You were created to worship. You were created to bring him glory. You were created to bring him praise. Let your fears go. Let them melt in the presence of God. There's some powerful things that the Lord wants to dispel in this room. Powerful fears that have held God's people for way too long. You're better than that. You've got a story to tell. You have an encounter to tell. And God's word to you today is fear not. Don't be afraid. It's time for us to take a step of faith. There's some fears that need to be left in 2018. And there's some boldness. There's a new creation in Christ that's stepping out in 2019. There's some people in this place that need to realize that your greatest year ever is coming. It's right around the corner. And it starts with you taking a step of faith and actually doing what God's word tells you to do. Can you receive that this morning? Hey friends, this is Pastor Tim once again coming to you from High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas. I want to thank each of you for listening personally to this message, but I need you to understand that this is not a replacement for a good church home. So if you're ever in the Longview area, we would love to see you and meet you and hear your story and hear what God's doing in your life. So drop by one of our Sunday services. If you want to check us out online, it's perfectly okay as well, highridgelv.com. Let me just talk to you for one last moment about your walk with Christ. Maybe you're watching today and you're saying to yourself, Pastor, if I'm going to be really honest with you, I don't know where my walk with Christ is. I'm not sure if I've asked him in my heart. I'm not sure what happens at the end of my life. Or maybe you're saying, I used to walk with God, but I've gotten away from him. Friend, whether you've never asked Christ into your heart or you've walked away from him, I believe that if you could see it right now, God himself is reaching down his hand to you. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. I found myself in the exact same place many years ago, and I didn't know what to do, but I knew that something needed to change. I needed help. Somebody loved me enough to help me. It led me in a simple prayer, and I'd love to have the same wonderful opportunity to do that with you as well. So if that's you today and you've never asked Christ into your heart, or maybe you used to walk with Christ but you've walked away from him and he knows it, you know it, then let me pray this prayer with you. You can say this out loud or in your heart right where you are. I believe that God will hear this prayer and your life will absolutely change today. So pray with me. Prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came and died but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all my sins. I ask you to come into my heart, be the Lord of my life, forgive me, heal me, change me, and give myself to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, friend, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I am so thrilled about the decision that you just made. Would you do me a favor? Go online and send me a message if that's okay. HighRidgeLV.com/contact and click on the tab that says send us a message. Let us know what just happened inside of your heart so we can send you some resources and help you out in your walk with Christ. That would mean a lot to us if you would. I want to say a very special thank you for your generosity, for your tithes and offerings. The way that you guys have financially supported us is just incredible. We could not do it without you. If you'd like to financially support us as well, you can go to HighRidgeLV.com/give. If you'd feel so inclined. So once again, thank you for tuning in. We love you. God bless.